Lace up. It's time for One and Done. 1 hour of basketball talk with Marcus Fuller of the Pioneer Press, Ryan James from North Star Hoops Report, and Hardwood Rob from the far end of the bench. Timberwolves to Gophers to high school. One and Done. Basketball talk on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
With the first pick in the 2015 NBA Draft, the Minnesota Timberwolves select Karl Anthony Towns from the University of Kentucky.
This is what you live for. You want to give back to your parents. I mean, they give you the world, and being able to wear this hat and show them that their son is doing well in life, and that I can take care of myself, and all the work and dedication they put into me, and all the times they sacrificed for me, I'm sacrificing back for them, and it wasn't for nothing. I'm going to go in right away and just be as versatile as I can be. Contribute just by being able to give the coach any option he needs for us to win the game, and that's the one thing I want to know, Timberwolves fans to know, is that I'm coming with a winning attitude, and I just want to win. I'm not looking for individual success. I'm looking for the whole team to have success.
Well, welcome to the city's young fellas. One and Done, 105 The Ticket. I'm Hardwood Rob. Marcus Fuller is here. Ryan James is here. It's a special 2-hour draft show, because why not? We should throw a parade. We did throw a parade. These dudes were marching through the skyways. It looked like the parade was like we already won. Did we already win? I feel like we won.
I mean, it's the number one pick, and you pick the arguably the best player in the draft. You know, I know I wrote a column about D'Angelo Russell, you know, possibly being 5 years from now being a better player. But this kid is still going to be an all-star, you know, a perennial all-star. I think he's going to be one of the top centers in the league. And, you know, I know the league is going away from the big man, but when you have one that can protect the rim like Karl Towns, I mean, that's going to take you a long way.
So huge. What are we looking at?
The league is going away from the physical, rough, old-school big man. But this is an active big man.
That's true.
This guy is the new-age style big man.
18-10? First year?
Rookie
year?
18-10?
Can I get 18-10 out of him?
Slow your roll a little bit.
We'll give you a 13-8, and we'll be happy.
Look, I'm going to get a Towns jersey. I said I was going to go get a Wiggins jersey. I'm going to go get a Towns jersey, but first things first, Nike's got to take over and do their thing, because the jerseys that they got right now... What are they doing? They don't even look real.
Rob actually likes them. He likes the sleeve ones. That's what Rob wants.
See, I'm all good with the new ones, because you can go out and play ball with them. You can go out and play a pickup game. You know, the old ones, man, those things are thick.
You're an actual hooper.
You really wanted to. You want to put those up in.
Yeah, you're an actual hooper.
You kind of want to just have those signed and put them up in your house. You know,
I just
want to
look good.
You don't want to wear those.
I just want to look good.
I love that you guys want to throw on someone's jersey and go run around in the park and play in it.
Not me.
Get you the shorts too.
Not me.
Only Jordan. Only Jordan.
I just want to ride around in the Chevy. I just want to look good. That's all. I just want to have my Wiggins on the back. I want to get my new number 32 jersey. My Karl Anthony Towns jersey. Even though he's got an imaginary friend.
Can we get a Carlito jersey made though? We have to introduce who Carlito is. Ryan does not know who Carlito is.
We gotta let him know.
Okay.
The only Carlito I know is the old wrestler that had the apple. Come on.
Go ahead. Who's, you know, so Carlito. So he.
Carlito
it's his imaginary,
is imaginary friend.
It's Karl Anthony Towns' imaginary friend.
He had it since high school, and basically he uses this imaginary friend to deal with the criticism. You know, I mean, he's such a nice kid. You know, if Cal Power is yelling at him, his high school coach is yelling at him, you know, he kind of turns to the side and he talks to his imaginary friend. I mean, it's something that we all do, really. I mean, you know, you don't want to get fired by your boss.
Wait a minute. You got an imaginary friend?
I don't know if I have an imaginary friend, but I definitely turn my shoulder and talk to myself.
Can you imagine what our wives would be like? Hey, it's that way. It wasn't me. I was talking to Bob, you know?
I wouldn't have a wife. I would not have a wife if my wife knew that but that's cool. I mean, that he's got this motivational technique. And honestly, the dude, he said all of the right things. You heard it. It was like he had it nailed. Exactly when he walked off the stage after the draft, after he got picked. He knew exactly. He's been saying all the right things all along. Hell, the kid was in the gym on Instagram showing us work last night.
You've got to watch there's a YouTube video of when he won the Gatorade Player of the Year award back in 2014. Amazing speech. And, you know, he kind of ended it with, you know, it's more important to have a GPA than 20 points a game. And, I mean, you just don't hear 17, 18-year-old kids say those kind of things. And, I mean, he wants to be a doctor one day. You know, he could probably take all of our jobs in the media and be a sports person on the radio or on TV. I mean, he just got that kind of personality. And really, he's kind of won over this town before he's even played a game.
And even suited up.
And
yet.
He hasn't even suited up yet. I mean, you know, Summer League is going to be next week. It might be a different story if he comes in and lays an egg. But
they're playing the Lakers first game.
They That's are true. The That's first true. Game. I'm excited to see that. I'm geeked to see these Lakers. I was a little stunned when they picked Russell because I figured that they would just follow conventional wisdom and do what everybody thought was going to happen, was going to go Towns Okafor. But for them to go Russell, I mean, I'm excited for the late. I'm excited to see. It's going to be an interesting little year ahead of us. It's going to be very interesting because we've got impact rookies, not just rookie rookies. We've got impact rookies.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. You know, Towns might have Carlito on his shoulder, but Russell's got a huge chip on his shoulder. And he marked that game against Towns in that first Summer League game. You can bet on that. And he's going to come out. You know, well, I want to see that. How they're going to respond. You know, I mean, Russell believes he should have been the number one pick, I'm sure, but I'm sure he's happy to be a Laker. But he wants to show the world that he's the best player in this draft, and it's going to start from day one in that first Summer League game.
What are they saying he's going to play position-wise?
Well, I mean, Summer League, you know, no doubt he's going to have the ball in his hands from day one. I mean, and really, I mean, Jordan Clarkson is there. He had a really good season last year, but, you know, he's the future. I think when Kobe Bryant's healthy, you're going to see those two guys in the backcourt. And really, I mean, if you look at what they're dealing with right now, nobody's worried about, you know, where Russell's going to play. They're worried about the big men inside because they got nothing. You know, the Lakers have nothing. But, you know, let's stop talking about the Lakers here.
I mean, look at the
Wolves. Where are they going to play? Where are they going to play Towns?
That's a good question. I think that his natural position is center. He's a center, but they've got a lot of decisions to make. Now they have an overwhelming number of options at the big man spots. I mean, Peck, Payne, AB is already on the block.
Peck, he's getting another tattoo and retiring. We may never see
retiring now. He's still got something in the tank. And really, if you look at the way that they kind of put this roster together, you know, I think KG coming in and having a chance to mentor a kid like Towns is just huge. You know, not only because you know what he accomplished as a player with the Wolves, but just because he knows exactly what Towns is going through as far as, you know, being a type of player who is not a true back to the basket, you know, kind of plotting low post center. I mean, this is a kid who wants to face the basket and play a different kind of game for a big man like Ryan was talking about. And KG was kind of one of the first, you know, center seven-footers to show a lot of these young guys that, hey, you know what, I can step out, I can shoot jump shots, I can still be a defensive presence and you know, be a seven-footer and not just be one of those, you know, I love the centers back in the day, David Robinson, Patrick Ewing, Hakeem Olajuwon, you know, but you know, Kevin Garnett, KG was just a different kind of a seven-footer.
The perfect mentor.
And that's the type of guy that he's going to be. I'm not saying they're going to be. That's the player he's going to be because there's some differences, but that's the style of biggie he's going to be. And because he can run, because he's so active, because he can, you know, he can face up and do stuff, he's going to be the type of guy who works with this new age game. Now, I still, like, they keep saying new age game, and they are getting smaller. I get that. I believe that. But I still believe if the new Hakeem Olajuwon came in, oh, he'd be taken number one.
No question.
And they would use him. It's not that the game is going away from the bigs. There's not many talented bigs like that anymore. And like
was that our first show or our second show? Where you're right. You're 100% right. There wasn't. He's not an elite level. I mean, Hakeem Olajuwon.
Yeah, that's why, like, that's why there's kind of like the old school guy is kind of like cheering for Okafor. Because they want Okafor to see that style of big also be effective. And I'm telling you, Okafor now, how do I say this? Everyone's memories from him are from the championship game when he wasn't playing at the end. But
the NCAA tournament, period. I mean, he just didn't have a great tournament.
He didn't, but that's one piece of his basketball life. That dude is a low post monster. He's a low post beast. And I think I'm going to say this again. He's like going to be like an Al Jefferson only bit. I think he could be better, and he'll be on a good team in some time, because Al has never been on a good team
That's exactly why they picked Towns and did not pick Okafor. And that's exactly why I think the Lakers didn't pick Okafor, is because they don't want Al Jefferson. Now they need a transcendent type of big guy, you know, the type that can step out and stretch the floor, really guard, pick and roll, get out and guard defensive players on the perimeter. I mean, you got to be able to guard not just protect the rim, but you got to be able to guard in the pick and roll. And I'm sorry, and run the floor. And you know, I don't think Okafor, you know, at this point, he hasn't shown in his career he's consistent enough defender to step out and guard the pick and roll. And that's huge. And if you've seen it in the playoffs, I mean, you know, a lot of the centers in the playoffs, you know, we're not seeing those dominant centers anymore. But they're defending. You know, Bogut is defending, you know, his butt off. I think obviously Mozgov, you know, he was an incredible player in a couple games in the finals. But you know, they really lacked, I think, defensive presence at the rim. And you know, I think moving forward, if the Wolves are going to be a different team, if they're going to make the playoffs this year, which I know Rob's going to get to the poll question
Ooh,
in a minute,
buddy,
they're going to need some defense from Towns from day one.
Oh, without a doubt. And like he's agile enough. He's got the lateral quicks and the extreme length that the Timberwolves now have two centers that can step out and can step over on that on the pick and roll and can cut off the drive because they're lateral quick and Gorgie and Towns, obviously. Then you have KG who can play some of that.
Would you
as
play
well.
Those two together?
Gorgie and
who would
Towns?
Play? I mean, Towns would play center, I assume.
Oh, that'll
but he's even more skilled than Deng a little bit. I mean, I think
a little bit.
You might put Deng at center.
Yeah, I can see that. And what do you do with Peck? I mean, who knows? When he's healthy, he's a man. Like he's a beast. He's powerful. So I don't know. It's fun talking about a lot of options.
Yeah, they do have a ton.
That's what this exciting thing is. Like this is the first time we had a conversation. Okay, I've been up in St. Cloud where all the local Division II coaches are. I mean, 14 to 16 staffs in the NSIC were up there, and we're talking about this. We never talked about this at this tournament before ever. You know, since AAU basketball came big around
that's
here.
Like, dope.
Look, we were arguing last night. Who's going to be the starting lineup? Oh, that sounds like fun. You know, who's going to be? You know, Rubio? Is it Kevin Martin?
And we can't Wiggins? Forget. We cannot forget Tyus Jones in this equation because.
We'll get there. We got
know,
2 hours
I'm
of show.
Saying,
it's going to be
just
half
saying.
Tyus.
See, this
you
is
know,
the...
Tyus Jones, you know, joining this draft group, I think it just takes this team to another level as far as the excitement in Minnesota for T-Wolves, though. I mean, you got obviously the number one pick. Karl-Anthony Towns, future, you know, all-star center. I mean, we're incredibly enthusiastic about that. But, you know, I mean, we Pioneer Press, Apple Valley kid, you know, we had him on the cover.
You didn't even know that. You didn't even know that. You didn't even know that. What was the headline, man?
2 days in a row. It don't put me on the spot, man.
You didn't even know that. He said, man, I'm trying to remember which one was the website.
Do you know what time I got home? You know what time I got home after the draft?
3:30.
About 3 or 4 a.m.
I can't get an invitation to a draft party, man?
Think of this.
Take me to a draft party.
How popular is Tyus Jones? Okay, how popular is he? Now, there's a lot of examples, and I don't know if you have time for me to go through some of these great examples I have of his popularity.
We got plenty of time.
But Yeah, you're probably right. But, like, when was the last time the number one draft pick of that year, the next morning, had to share the cover with the 18th pick? Like, but it's that's how much people love Tyus here.
It is.
You know?
He's I would say the equivalent I would make would be like the great film of maybe the year 2000, 2001, She's All That, Freddie Prinze Jr., Paul Walker. I would say we've got that sort of combination there where Towns is definitely Paul Walker, you know what I'm saying, and Freddie Prinze Jr.
Where's he going with this? Paul Walker!
Hey, look, so Carlito, right? He's Carl Anthony Towns, motivational, or he's his alter ego. He's his little Penny or whatever,
and
right?
He did come with him to Minnesota, by the
yeah,
way.
Yeah, yeah. He's got his own Twitter.
Yeah,
he's got his own Twitter. He's all that.
Oh,
so now my contention is that Flip has an alter ego as well. It's Fleek Saunders.
I'll say Flop.
GM Saunders is Fleek Saunders. His GM game right now is so serious. To bring us Tyus, to bring Carl Anthony Towns in, to make the right pick when all the rumor, all the circulation was Okafor, Flip really loves Okafor. And now he's got all of these options. And I'm really interested in figuring out because, you know, look, if we were to move forward with the team that we have, if on paper all the guys that we have on this roster are who we have starting in the fall, I'm not upset with that. I think that's would I start some different guys? Would I look to see some different guys do some different things? Yes. Are there some different traits or characteristics or sort of positions, roles on the team that I would like to see maybe filled with another guy or something like that, some trades? I think there's some things they could do. But now I actually believe in our GM. I believe in Fleek Saunders because he is making moves out here, man. He's making moves.
Fleek. But, that leads me to our poll question, which is how long till the Wolves make the playoffs? You know, I mean, I think that certainly there's going to be a lot of fans out there who think, you know, immediately. Carl Anthony Towns.
That's what I said. Playoffs. That's what I said.
Two years.
You're saying it here.
The West is a beast.
Look.
2 years.
Andrew Wiggins. That's what I'm saying. We're all kind of forgetting about this dude, Andrew Wiggins.
No, nobody's forgetting about him.
Is a transcendent player. He is the type of guy that is going to make such an exponential leap from year one to year two that with what we already have in the tank from Towns, with Rubio's progression as a leader, with a legit backup point guard who can slide Zach LaVine to the two, we're gonna make the playoffs. I'm not saying we're gonna win the first round.
Staying healthy is the key, obviously.
Well,
and
without question.
I mean, what people forget is that the All-Star game is in Canada this year. And Wiggins has already said he's getting there. And if he's an All-Star this year, you know, if he takes his game to that level, who knows where this team could go. Am I predicting that they'll make the playoffs this year? No, I'm not doing that. I'm not putting that kind of pressure on this team yet until I see them. But I think that for sure they'll be in the mix. I mean, they would have been in the mix, arguably, if they were healthy last year. Am I wrong? I'm not saying what they would make it, but they would have been in the mix.
I don't know if they'd been in the mix.
If they were healthy.
Hit us up with your response.
I still think we're 2 years away.
We're going to get into it a little bit more. Hit us up with your response. We got to talk Tyus. We haven't done that yet. We've got Kevin Lynch on the program today, and Apple Valley head coach Zach Goring will be joining us a little later on. It's One and Done on 105 The Ticket.
Back to One and Done on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
Precious Fina. A female fan has ever said to you.
I don't know. I'm going to keep that from. I don't know.
Come on, Rick.
Sometimes they ask me to sign their bras or something, and that's kind of like weird in the middle of the people signing that, but I do it.
that's kind of weird.
Was that Carlito?
That was Rubio on Levitard. I happened to pop in the studio. We got SportsCenter going in the studio like all day or whatever, you know. So I popped in and I saw Ricky on there with Levitard, Bomani Jones, or, you know, the one where Levitard brings his dad out. And he asked him the question, what's the craziest thing a fan that you could barely understand it? What's the craziest thing a female fan's ever said to you? And he says, sometimes they make me sign their bras. He said it's kind of weird, but I do it. So get that if they're in it. If there are any ladies listening who are, I mean, let's be honest. He's like the Bieber of basketball.
Yeah.
He's like the Jonas brother of the Timberwolves. If you got a bra and you want Ricky Rubio to sign it, he'll sign it.
Ricky!
That dude sounds all innocent. He is downtown. He's
from Europe, man. Yeah, come on now.
Oh, yeah. He's with it. He's probably talking to them older girls. He doesn't understand what the young ladies are all about. He's just interested in their moms. I can just tell.
Well, he better tame himself because, you know, he's going to be hanging out with Tyus Jones quite a bit.
What are you saying about Debbie, man?
And, you know, I think Tyus, obviously, you know, if you look at any player in this draft, or I want to say any guard in this draft, and you look at the situation they've gone into, D'Angelo Russell getting to learn from Kobe Bryant, and you know, I'm not putting Rubio on the status of Kobe Bryant, but obviously getting to learn from Ricky Rubio is tremendous for Tyus. And if you look at his situation, I mean, really, he's been watching Rubio for a few years now, I'm sure, you know, being a Minnesota kid.
Sure.
And, you know, get to learn from Flip Saunders as well. You know, these are guys that are going to help Tyus reach another level. And really, I mean, if he would not have the championship game that he did, would he be in the draft? Would he be a first-round pick? Probably not. But he is in this situation, and I think being in Minnesota, learning from Ricky Rubio, that's the best opportunity for him.
Man, see, here's where my little beef with that particular statement is that's who he is. Who he was in the championship game, the most outstanding player of the tournament, the guy who's ready to take over, that's who he is, and that's who we're getting. I think that's really what catapulted him into the first round, what maybe others would, because I've heard a couple of guys say, you know, if he was 4 to 6 inches taller, he'd be the best point guard, the first point guard you take in the draft.
Maybe.
I mean, with
I don't think it's necessarily height. I think if he, you know, if he was 6'2" with, you know, Allen Iverson type of athleticism, you know, I mean, even Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving's 6'2". Tyus is 6'1". So we're not talking about, you know, an inch being an inch or two away from being the number one pick or the top player in the draft. I mean, I think that, you know, his athleticism has a lot to do with it. But, you know, there's a lot of players in this league. Well, there's you know, a handful of players in this league who've got away with, you know, the lack of athleticism at the point guard position and played at a high level, Hall of Fame level, you know, when you're talking about Chris Paul and Tony Parker. So, you know, I think that, you know, Tyus has had, you know, not only good mentors throughout his high school career and in college and now eventually in the pros, but, you know, he's got to learn, you know, at Team USA, he met Chris Paul. You know, I mean, he met a lot of these guys when he was playing for Team USA. And, you know, I think they gave him some feedback, you know, about how to play in the league. And he's watched these guys for years. I mean, he's probably, as far as basketball IQ goes, he's number one on my list in the draft, period. And he's probably been there since the ninth or tenth grade.
I think he's ready to play. He's going to be able to just come in and back up right away.
The thing that Tyus, and what we should have all learned about pro basketball now is that, first of all, the game's getting smaller. It is getting smaller. And we just watched Steph Curry, greatest athlete on the floor? No. Greatest guy on the floor? No. He just won a championship. And he was amazing. Like, Tyus, the reason – did Tyus get drafted in the first round? Did his Duke run help? It sure did. I still think he'd have been a first-round pick even if they got beat in the quarters. Because Tyus Jones, what's the number one thing about Tyus Jones? He is the smartest dude on the floor. He reads plays like – he reads plays so far in advance, it's insane. And I heard some people talking about, like,
Wait a minute. So you were driving in from South Dakota this morning? Like, you came
no,
in
I
this
came
morning?
No, I came in from...
St. Cloud?
St. Cloud. It's been a three-day thing. Like, they're talking about how, you know, Tyus didn't play with great players. We can't wait till he's playing
with great
players.
Is this Trent Tucker? Are you talking about Trent Tucker?
I'm talking about a lot of people, dude. A lot of people.
Is that who came?
A lot of people.
What's being said? Like, what is being said?
I can't wait to see he's, like, with great players. Tyus has been an amazing player for everybody around him since he was a little kid. Like, anybody that's been with him, he's been able to make your average Joe JV guy look great for years. Like, I remember watching him at the Pace Setter when he was like 9th and 10th grade, and there's dudes I never watched play for Apple Valley ever that were on that team, and they're hitting three threes because Tyus is making them better. Like, that's who Tyus is. He's so intelligent, he's so smart, he's such a great leader for his teammates. That's why he is who he is.
And he played with Jahlil Okafor, he played with Justice Winslow. Like, he's playing
better
with draft picks already. So to say that he hasn't been playing with great players,
the talk was about in high school.
But the question is, you know, once, you know, a lot of these players that get drafted, you know, in the lottery and obviously Karl Towns, he's going to come in and start. They're going to give him a lot of minutes. So can he make the kind of impact? And I think that he will, but can he make the kind of impact that you're talking about in a limited role?
I think he can.
And, you know, what kind of impact can he have in his first year? I mean, are we going to have expectations for Tyus that he's going to come in and
how,
you know,
does
possibly
he
take over for Rubio? No, I mean, but, you know, at the same time, you know, when you pick a point guard with his, you know, with his talent, you know, you're looking at possibly, you know, if you can get a pretty good player for Rubio. I mean, you're gonna obviously think about that in a couple of years if Tyus makes a huge jump.
Yeah, but it's you just got to give it time. And he's, what was he, the 24th pick in the draft? Okay, 24th pick in the draft. Run through the 24th pick in the draft in the past. I mean, most of the 24th pick in the draft isn't coming in and making an amazing impact. What Tyus is going to do...
Well, how many kids come in and you know, and play in their hometown?
Not
and
many.
Are,
so
and
the pressure's
are the star in the hometown.
But he's, to me, Tyus is going to make a better than 24th in the draft impact. But, like, okay, so you have 48 minutes a game. Ricky's going to play 28 to 30. Tyus is going to play the other 20 to 18. And he's going to have that. I think they're going to be a great combo together. My worry is not my worry. There's going to be times where Tyus is going to have to step in because Ruby's getting hurt all the time.
Yeah,
right. And Tyus, I'm so happy he was healthy this year. He's actually been healthy, pretty healthy for 2 years. Tyus has had some tough injuries in the past too that have kept him out. I remember just the other day, I'm up in St. Cloud. He's like, oh, I love Tyus Jones, but both times the Granite City Classic, he was hurt. You know,
but that was high school. I think he's definitely been more physical.
Yes.
I think his senior year in high school and then his freshman year, that's one thing that I noticed more than anything is, you know, I remember, you know, getting to the basket, you know, he did hit the floor quite a bit, you know, but often now, I mean, you see guys, I mean, he's just bouncing off of guys and getting to the basket, finishing. It's
learning
incredible
how to use his body.
Right.
Better.
It's incredible the way he's able to, like you said, Rob, use his body and finish. really without a lot of length and athleticism. And I think that's the part of his game that translates offensively, that translates to the next level, is the fact that he can get his shot off, you know, no matter how big and no matter how athletic the defender is. And I think that's going to go a long way. Rubio really, you know, at 6'4", he doesn't necessarily play to that size as well. So you have two guards who, you know, aren't as athletic, but just find ways to score. And I think, you know, what I think a lot of people are missing in all this is, you know, from in the backcourt. Okay, in the point guard position nowadays, you get guys that can score the ball quite a bit, right? And Ricky Rubio, and both Ricky Rubio and Tyus Jones are not the type of point guard that's in the league right now that's going to try to average 20 points a game, you know. And is that good or bad for the T-Wolves? I think that's actually a good thing, because, you know, they're going to put more pressure on Wiggins. They're going to put more pressure on Towns. They're going to put more pressure on maybe Kevin Martin and some of these other guys to score. And Tyus and Ricky Rubio are going to get the ball to these guys and make them better players, just like you were saying, Ryan.
But what I was trying to get to earlier is that you have Ricky and you have Tyus, and now you're comfortable for 48 minutes as a PG.
They're complementary players.
If one of them gets hurt, the other one, I feel even though Tyus, you know, he's going to be a rookie and he's going to be 20, he's the 24th pick in the draft, I still feel you'd be comfortable with him stepping in if Ricky's hurt.
No question.
Now, so no longer does Zach LaVine have to come in and play a bunch of PG. You can play
such a relief.
Guard. Yeah, and I don't even know who the other backup point guard was at the end of the year. What was that dude?
Lorenzo
name?
Brown. Lo Brown.
Whoever.
See, well, but that's
we'll talk
the
to
thing.
You later, Lorenzo Brown.
Lo Brown wasn't too bad, I think that's the need. Well, I'm not saying that that's the guy, but I'm saying really that's actually the next need is I would like to see the Wolves go get a veteran leadership type point guard, like a Derek Fisher type guy. Is he out there? Who he is? I'm probably going to ask Kevin Lynch that in a couple of minutes. After we see if we can get him on the phone, we'll talk to Kevin Lynch and see what maybe the Wolves might be trying to do, if he knows anything about that. But that's kind of what I would like to see, because they've had some injuries that have kept them out for periods of time. I wouldn't mind seeing a little bit older, maybe a generation ahead of Ricky Rubio, that type of a leader type point guard, come in and just provide sort of that safety net, that guidance
for
these two guys.
Because that dude shouldn't play. We got two PGs.
Yeah, we're fine.
I don't need him to play. I don't need him to play. But
so you need a coach, essentially, then, almost.
A coach on the floor. A coach on the floor. I don't, because, look, he's not going to be a big. We've got way too many bigs, I mean, already. So, and at the wings, we're cool. Like, I would like to see, a Derek Fisher type. I've got some ideas.
You can keep Derek Fisher.
But, well, obviously, I mean, he's going to go ruin the Knicks. Actually, Phil's doing a good job ruining the Knicks. We're going to see if we can get Kevin Lynch on the line. We're going to keep responding or looking at responses to the poll question. You can tweet us at oneanddone105. Spell out the one and done. The question is, how long until the Wolves make the playoffs? Tyus, Towns, Carlito, we're going to cover it all and see if we can get Kevin Lynch on the line next. It's One and Done on 105 The Ticket.
One and Done. Basketball talk on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
I mean, there's a lot of excitement. You know, there's been a lot of people have gone into putting in a lot of time, a lot of hard work, and it's all paying off. It just seems things keep on rolling, whether it starts with the trade of getting Wiggins, and it goes to the All-Star weekend, which is a great weekend for the Timberwolves with LaVine and Wiggins really showcasing what they can do. Then you bring back Kevin Garnett, then Glenn and Becky go out there and get the number one pick, and then we come here and we know we get Cat, and then all of a sudden we make the trade and get Tyus Jones, and we got this beautiful new facility. So there's a lot of positives that are happening right now.
Yeah, Fleek Saunders, he's got us super excited. Set the parade up going through the Skyway. It's One and Done on 105 The Ticket. I'm Hardwood Rob, joined as always by Marcus Fuller from the Pioneer Press, Ryan James from North Star Hoop Report, and we've got a guest on the phone here. 1987 Mr. Basketball out of Bloomington Jefferson High School with the Gophers from 87 to 91. Played for the Hornets, is a dog on TV as well. It's Kevin Lynch. Kevin, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Doing very well. Thanks for are you from Bloomington?
Yes, born and raised, actually.
I used to live in Boomtown. I just moved to St. Paul, but yeah, I got a lot of love for Bloomington. I was at the Golden Walk over on 98th and 35 last night. They've got this golden chicken that's just is so delicious. A lot of love for Golden Walk in Bloomington. So we just got into this draft conversation. Karl Anthony Towns being the number one pick. Marcus, you look like you're just ready to ask Kevin a question. Go ahead.
Well, I know Kevin and I, we were talking about, obviously, when he was drafted, back when he was drafted, and I made the mistake, the initial mistake of calling him a first-round pick when you actually should have been, right? I mean, you know, if you look at the pick where you're 28th, I think, in the 1991 draft, and obviously, you know, in this day and age, you would have been a first round pick. But there was a little story back then of how many Minnesotans were drafted that year, and just around that time, that were kind of from your area a little bit.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's you know, we talk about growing up in Bloomington. For me, Mark Randall, who had a really good career at Kansas. And I think he grew up in the Denver area, but he actually, his folks, when he was a little kid, lived in Bloomington, Minnesota here. So he, Mark Randall, obviously went to Kansas and eventually was a first round. I think the Bulls, I think Chicago took him
right
late in the first round. And then at some point later on, there was a guy who played for, and I told this to Marcus, I know Marcus looked it up. But
yeah, he played for Georgia, I think, and Alex.
Alec Kessler was a big. Mark Randall was like 6'9 or 6'10. And there's a guy, Alec Kessler, who eventually grew up, I think, around the Atlanta area, went to Georgia, I think. I found out later, and he was a first round pick by Miami. He played for the Heat. He was 6'11. I think I heard years later that he actually, when he was a little kid, his folks lived in Bloomington, Minnesota as well. His dad was moving around because of his job. And we already had good teams when I was at Bloomington Jefferson, but imagine you stick a 6'9 and a 6'11 guy on those teams too, and who knows, we might have won 10 state championships in a row.
Yeah, I know. I brought that up to you because obviously, you know, Tyus Jones and Rashad Vaughn got drafted this year in the first round. They're the first two Minnesotans to be drafted in the first round in the same year. And you and Mark Randall were drafted, you know, in the top 30 picks. So, you know, I mean, really, you guys should have been, you know, first-round picks, the first Minnesotans to do that. But talk a little bit about, you know, the Wolves draft. I know, you know, you cover the Wolves and do a great job of that. You know, Towns was the guy all along. You know, everybody kind of knew that. But, you know, now that it's official, you know, what are your thoughts about that?
Well, I'm excited. I really think Flip Saunders has done a nice job in the GM role, or president of basketball operations. I guess that's his official title. But, you know, he's basically a GM, and he's the final guy as far as making these draft picks and all these decisions. So I am the head coach now. But I like what they've done. I mean, what he's done. I mean, you could even go back a couple of years to drafting Trey Burke, trading that pick. Trey Burke, I think, is a decent point guard. But I think Shabazz Muhammad is going to be, you know, maybe he'll end up being a bench player, a guy coming off the bench, but he's going to be a serviceable player in this league. He's already proven that. Gorgie Jang is a surprisingly good and emerging big guy who's probably going to be more of a bench guy as well, but those are important pieces on a good team. You know, then Saunders pulls the trigger on the very complicated Kevin Love issue, gets him out of town, and gets Wiggins here. Now he turns into the Rookie of the Year. And Zach LaVine, there's probably not another guy on the Timberwolves roster who's got a higher ceiling than Zach LaVine with his athletic ability. Who knows what he's going to turn into, but his potential is there. And then now with getting the first pick and getting Towns and getting the hometown kid, Tyus Jones, I tell you what, I don't know what you guys think, but I think, and this is also considering coming off of David Kahn, who, you know, how much basketball did that guy know? So Saunders, you know, really couldn't lose getting that job and making good decisions. But he has done a nice job of building this team, and they got some nice pieces and some major pieces that hopefully things would go right and these guys develop as people think they will. This is a team that is going to be very interesting in the Western Conference coming up here soon.
He knew about as much basketball as Rachel Phelps knew for Major League about the Indians.
So what do you – I'm curious, Kevin, then if you've got all this confidence, as I do, I'm calling him Fleek Saunders. I think that he's just doing an outstanding job as GM. What what kind of moves do you see him making next? I mean, there's already been rumors about AB being on the block. Everybody's concerned about what we're going to do with Peck, and I think there's even a few fans out there wondering about what we're going to do with Kevin Martin, if we do anything at all. What are you anticipating?
Wow. You know, even a guy like Anthony Bennett, you know, I think, you know, I have no problem if they cut ties with him or trade him or, you know, he get him out the door. The same with Chase Buttinger. I like Chase Buttinger. He's a good player, but he apparently is a good shooter, but he just has not shot well in his 3 years with the Wolves. So if you, you know, move on with him, I'm fine with that as well. Pekovic is a different issue because he's got a huge contract. He's making $12 million a year for the next three seasons.
Right.
You know, he's a guy who is, when he's healthy, you know, he can give you, he can be your starting center. He's a back-to-the-basket player. He's one of the strongest guys in this league. And he's a guy that can give you 16 points and 8 or 9 rebounds, which obviously, when he's healthy and doing that, he's a top 10 center in this league. So, and Kevin Martin, I think you hold on to it for at least for the time being, because I think there needs to be some veteran presence on the perimeter for the Wolves. So Pekovic is an important piece. Kevin Martin, to me, is an important piece. And, you know, but a lot of these other kind of guys along the perimeter with this team, I'm fine with cutting ties with. But you don't want to go too young. You got to have some of that veteran presence. And having Garnett on the team, I think, is huge, too. I mean, that's an important angle to this whole situation. Getting Towns, he's obviously an intelligent young kid, and he's coachable. And now you got a guy like Garnett who still can play, by the way, and maybe in a minor role. But yeah, as far as his ability to mentor and teach, there's value in that, especially with young big guys. So, yeah, there's a lot of interesting angles going on with this team right now.
Yeah, when you look at the situation, obviously, with, you know, Rubio and Tyus Jones, I mean, Tyus gets to learn from a guy like Rubio. But, you know, Tyus is the first Minnesotan to play for the T-Wolves since John Thomas back in 2004-05. And, you know, we know John Thomas was a Gopher. And you need to look at the drought that the Gophers have had now that's past a decade. Last guy that was drafted from the University of Minnesota was Chris Humphreys in 2004. I know you're an ex-Gopher, and you were drafted. You followed the program for a long time. Are you alarmed by that? And, you know, kind of what do you think is kind of the next step to try to produce an NBA-caliber player?
Well, I am surprised by it, but I'm not. When you and I spoke a couple days ago, Marcus, you said an interesting thing, which I kind of agree with, is with a program like Minnesota, it's going to go in cycles. You're going to, you know, if you're Kentucky, Duke, North Carolina, places like that, Michigan State, you're going to, you know, pretty consistently pump talent into the NBA. Whereas, you know, if you're a program like the University of Minnesota, I think it's going to kind of go in cycles at times. And I think you're right. I think we're maybe heading into a direction where we're going to have more kids coming from Minnesota, even if they don't go play for the Gophers. But if they do, there's going to be more talent, I think, that goes into the NBA. But, yeah, it's you know, with Dan Munson, when Dan Munson was here coaching, I just don't think, you know, the years that he coached here for the U, you know, he just wasn't a coach. He didn't have the personality to attract high school kids that had NBA talent. He just didn't. I mean, I spoke to that guy a number of times, and he's just not going to be very impressive as far as wooing some of these really top blue chip type kids that are eventually going to play at that level. Now, he had, you know, Rick Rickert got drafted late in the second round and Chris Humphreys, but Humphreys was just using the program to get to where he wanted to go in the NBA. But, yeah, Dan Munson wasn't going to do it. Tubby, I'm a little bit more surprised with. You know, once Tubby got hired, I figured he'd deliver more, you know, talent into the NBA, which kind of didn't really happen, or at least the players that he got and signed for the Gophers, like a Royce White, he never finished at the U. And a guy like Rodney Williams, where he kind of thought he had NBA potential,
Trevor
that didn't
Mbakwe,
really work
yeah.
out as well. Yeah, so Trevor Mbakwe, same situation. But, yeah, it's going to be interesting with Patino, whether he's got the personality to attract that type of high school talent. Let me say this story one, guys. I'll make it quick. I don't want to take up too much time. But when I was recruited by Clem Haskins, he walked in, and I was recruited by other schools, and I was talking, obviously, to other college coaches at that time. Clem came into my house one night. This was the fall of my senior year in high school. I was 17 years old, and it was just Clem came by himself, and it was my mom and dad and myself and Clem. And we sat and talked in our living room at my house in Bloomington for about 2 hours. And, you know, he walked out after this conversation that we had, and I remember thinking to myself, now granted, I was 17 years old, and I remember thinking to myself, wow, that guy was just impressive. I was just impressed by him. And that's what I'm saying. If you're going to try to attract top high school talent to your college, you got to have a coach that has some of that. Dan Munson didn't have it. Clem Haskins certainly had it. I thought Tubby did too. And it's going to be interesting to see if Pitino has some of that.
I think you're absolutely right. We desperately, and it seems like some of the onus is on the kids to make that decision, but it's a lot easier to make that decision when you've got an inspiring coach that really makes you want to, you know, stay home and be a part of things.
You know, I want to back something up Kevin said earlier. I'm also a Clem Haskins guy. I was the manager there for 4 years. Love Coach Haskins. And one of the examples I think of is when Coach Haskins would come into a gym to watch. Sam Jacobson's the one I saw the most. He'd come in, kids would run to Coach Haskins to get an autograph. Mm. I'll never forget Coach Munson coming in to watch. I don't even know who he was watching at Tartan. He sat down, and I don't even think half the people even knew he was there. I mean, and that's the type of thing, there has to be that type of presence, and that presence when Coach Haskins left wasn't really replaced. And like Kevin said, I thought Tubby was going to replace it, and it just didn't happen.
Yeah, Kevin. Yeah. You know, you got your nephew Reggie Lynch on the squad right now, and
best,
you know,
shot blocker in America, baby.
I just love his his upside. You know, 6'10". I mean, the shot blocking ability, like Ryan said. You know, he's the type of player that, you know, if he maybe improves offensively, that he'll maybe have a chance to play professionally. But what do you think of the Gopher squad right now and their pro potential?
Pro potential. Yeah, that's going to be, I don't know. A lot of the incoming players, obviously I know my nephew, but the incoming kids, which they have six other incoming guys outside of my nephew. Is that right, Marcus? Six
right,
guys?
Right, yeah.
I mean, the one player I really noticed, and he kind of jumped out at me last year when I went to the inner squad scrimmage back in October, Bakari Kanate, the 6'11 kid from Africa. I mean, I looked at him. I knew they had this young kid, and he was born in Africa, and everybody said he was raw. And then the first time I looked at him, especially with big guys, they catch my attention. I watch how they run, and I look at their frame, and my first thoughts with that kid, he was bigger than I thought. He was thicker than I thought, and he runs pretty smoothly for a big guy at 6'11". And I don't know what's going to happen to him, but I would imagine he's a guy that's going to get some looks if he ends up developing like he should, and there's no guarantee. But I would say if he's a legit 6'11", he's going to get some NBA looks. So, I mean, I would say that's one guy that looks like he's got some NBA potential. Now, a lot has to happen here as far as his improvement, but if it goes a certain way, he's going to get a chance to play at that level, I think.
Kevin Lynch, we appreciate you joining us today. 1987 Mr. Basketball out of Boomtown, my favorite town in the Twin Cities. Kevin, thanks again for joining us on One and Done. We appreciate it, man.
Thanks, Kevin.
Yeah, thanks, guys. See you, Marcus.
We're going to continue the draft discussion in just a couple of minutes, and of course, you know, we couldn't do a show without my favorite segment of all time. Your boy is killing it. That's next on One and Done.
Back to One and Done on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
Just the team, you fly to Las Vegas to have a private celebration.
Yeah.
And how did that go?
I was more of the chaperone.
You were?
Yeah, so the whole time I'm just smiling, watching those guys have fun. They enjoyed themselves. The team, we had a ranking once it was all done.
Oh, who enjoyed themselves the most? You had a ranking of?
We had the turn-up rankings.
I see. Who turned it up?
Bronze medal went to Maurice Spates.
Okay.
Gold and silver was close. Clay came in at a close second.
Uh-huh.
But Draymond took the gold medal. He did a great job.
That's Andre Iguodala on Kimmel. after they won a championship. What are you looking at?
I don't want to hear Draymond Green's name again for a long time.
What's wrong with Green?
Oh, I love the way he plays.
Big Ten.
If he would just shut up, it would be so much easier to take. Like, he's the type of guy who I should love the way he plays. But he bothers me so bad. Like, I wish that I was watching those games on DVR so I could instantly hit the 30 seconds ahead and not watch him complain literally after every single whistle. Oh my gosh. He became gone from one of my favorite players to watch to maybe the most annoying.
I think his game speaks for itself.
His game is great.
His game speaks for itself. So I can watch that guy all day the way he plays.
Yeah, so shut up, man.
He's my favorite. You know what? You know, I think that's part of his deal, though, now that he's in the NBA. I mean, that's...
Acting nuts?
Hey, now, he's got his own commercial.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, with the beats, I mean, his mom is probably more vocal than him on Twitter.
Oh,
so,
my Lord.
You know, I want to say, you know what, this is our Killing It segment, you know, just because you hate Green so much.
No, I don't hate his game. I hate his attitude. It's insane.
He's my Killing It. Jermon Green is my, he's my boy.
This guy didn't have one, and that's what he pulled.
The finals.
I mean, he wasn't Iguodala. I played the audio because Iguodala was obvious. He was named the MVP.
He was MVP, but Draymond Green had probably the best game. And you know what I'm going to say?
He had that best game in
Game Six. I felt like, you know, he didn't play up to his potential earlier in the finals. And you know, I felt like, you know, throughout the playoffs, he was close to being a triple double threat. Am I wrong? I mean,
I think Ryan's eyes have rolled
LeBron
all
and,
the way.
LeBron
around
and,
he was good.
Yeah, LeBron and
good.
Draymond Green. Just... LeBron and Draymond Green were probably the two guys that each night you
LeBron
felt like
should've won.
They could get a triple double. Yeah. I mean, we can make that argument. But did he win it?
No.
Well, I mean, you got to win the championship. I don't like giving guys the MVP if they don't win the championship. I know that. You know, LeBron had an unbelievable finals. I mean, come on. And he had to. They had nobody. I mean, Dellavedova had one game.
This dude, LeBron James, man.
You know, Mozgov had one great game. And
then they wouldn't play him the next game. Like
they didn't even
they
give
didn't
him
need
a
to.
Tick.
You got your 28. Draymond Green was playing.
He got sweat in his jersey,
I want to know. I mean, I didn't look it up. I should have looked this up. You're right. I didn't have Draymond Green ahead of this. But he did start. He started at center. He started at center in the NBA Finals at 6'6".
Yeah, that's
come on,
bananas.
Guys.
That's weird.
You're not going to see that again.
No, you won't.
It's really...
You will
you,
not.
You will
and
not.
And he got it done. I mean, he averaged a double-double in the NBA playoffs as a 6'6", power forward slash center. You just don't see that anymore. And he's not the best athlete in the world.
No, he's just
I love Draymond Green. I don't know what you're talking about, Ryan.
You do, too, know what we were talking about because you were just as annoyed as the rest of us. But he's tough as nails, and he knows how to play. And that's why... I love the way a guy plays. Don't get me wrong. I mean, do you want him on your team? Sure, yeah. With a muzzle. You know, I mean, it'd be good.
Who's your guy?
Oh, dude. The high school kids.
Guys.
They're
guys.
Doing great.
Who are his guys?
First of all, first to Trey Jones. Got a gopher offer at camp.
Yeah, that's what's up.
Definitely to Trey. Trey's been great. USA basketball. He made the sixth on our team, and a year younger than everybody, you know, most of his teammates. Gary Trent was there as well. He's the best player on that team, so both of them for sure are your boy are killing it.
And Gary's Duke offer has come since the last time we were on the air, too.
Yes, well, he's gonna have everybody.
Yeah, he's balling out.
He's been outstanding. Those two are first. Gunnar Mahr did a great job at Wisconsin team camp. You got to throw him out there. And you know what? There's a special one. This young boy just lost his life this week. His name is Zach Kvalvaag. He's a top 100 kid in Minnesota. He was going by a semi. He went by a semi, and the semi went right into him, and they rolled the car. And like, you guys give a special one to him just because he's not with us anymore. And everybody, you know, everybody was very sentimental at the tournament. So definitely shout out to his family.
Man, that's really, yeah.
I didn't mean to
sure.
kill the move,
no,
but Zach deserves.
I'm glad you got
some love.
Zach deserves a mention because he was a great kid, loved basketball, loved Tyus Jones and Duke. And it's
probably would
it's
have
tough
been
deal.
Thrilled to see what's going on right now in Minnesota basketball.
So
that's exciting. I mean, that's. I'm going to change things. I'm going to go a little bit, move the direction back in the other way, and go with my man, Fleek Saunders, just killing it right now. To be able to bring Tyus home is legit. Like that's amazing. And obviously making who we all believe is the consensus number one. There maybe were some arguments out there, but the consensus number one pick is ours. And Flip's got some moves to make now. So I'm looking forward to seeing what my man Fleek is about to lay down.
He's got a coach's team too now.
He's not Doc Rivers. Don't get it. I mean, he does both things at a very high level. Doc just coaches at a high level. He GMs at a poo-butt level. But Fleek is what it is when it comes to this dual GM. I mean, maybe Popovich might be like the ultimate, but to do what he's doing right now, it's unprecedented. Have we seen? I mean, I never would have imagined that after we brought back KG and the fanfare that surrounded it, that we would have ever come up with a way to equal or top that whole experience. I went to the game, hairs standing up on ends on your arms, and it was electric. And to see City Center and the Skyway on Sports Center yesterday for pretty much like a couple of hours, I mean, you were there.
That's a huge deal, man.
We're
not going to give Flip credit for getting the number one pick because that was the man upstairs. But, you know,
well,
he coached
the team into a really horrible record.
Well, there you go. There you go. How many times did the Timberwolves have the worst record and not get the number one pick though? So
yeah, amen on that.
You said the man upstairs. You mean like Jeff Munich? He's in the upper offices up there. That's what you mean?
That's true. But you look at Flip Saunders. I mean, just bringing him back into the fold, not just in the Timberwolves, but just in the Minnesota basketball scene. I mean, he's a guy. You know, I'm gonna just bring the Gophers in here. I mean, he's a guy that, you know, was really a lot of people's choice to take over the Gopher program. You know, Richard Pitino. He's brought in a huge class this year, and he's gonna have his work cut out him to develop these players.
No doubt.
And I think Flip is gonna be in the same situation. You know, I think there's a lot of excitement about the newcomers for the Gophers and the newcomers for the Wolves. But Pitino, and Saunders, when they get to practice, they're gonna be shaking their head a lot. They're going to be banging their head against the wall a lot because youth is going to need some time.
Guys are going to be doing some wall sits.
Yeah. And you know what? I mean, you want to have talent there, but sooner or later they're going to have to produce. And, I think, Saunders' experience, having coached KG, having KG on the team is just going to go a long way to help him because he can't do it alone. I mean, obviously, first time around, he got this team to the playoffs several years, kind of hit a snag. But right now, if you look at this roster a little bit, I mean, Wiggins, with the Towns, I mean, if you look back in the day,
so
I mean,
dope.
KG has Sprewell, I mean, did he have a wing of Wiggins' talent level?
We haven't seen
one.
Not
even close.
We haven't seen one in Minnesota ever.
Not even close.
What about Wally?
Stop it now. Okay,
Wally was a good shooter.
So this actually brings us back to the poll question today is when are the Wolves making the playoffs? How long is it going to take till the Wolves make the playoffs? We do have some responses at the big underscore V8. Jason Van Kampen finishing 500 would be a big step. I've got a couple other ones here, but our Twitter's kind of blowing up. Let's see. Trevor Jones at TJones5. That sounds like an inspired handle. No. They won't be that close. West is stacked. Our best talents are too young. That's a fair assessment. I think that's why we probably need to, and even Kevin Lynch was saying it a couple of minutes ago, we probably need to chase down a couple more veteran guys, or it's important at least to have some veteran guys. But your point is, and of course you can always respond to the poll question on Twitter. It's at one and done 105. Spell out the one and done. But it sounds like you might be making the argument, and I want to save it for the next segment, is that Minnesota basketball might be the best it's ever been. And we're going to talk about that next. It's One and Done on 105 The Ticket.
One and Done. Basketball talk on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
When you're talking about Kevin Garnett, you're talking about a living legend. He's being able to be part of his team and be able to contribute is going to be awesome. But the thing he's going to teach me more is not just skill-wise and attribute-wise, but the biggest thing is how to be a champion. He has a ring, and I want to be that too. So we're going to take that experience from him of what we need to do to be a championship team and what do I need to do to be that part in the championship team. And I can't wait to just start.
I think he's going to teach me how to truly be a professional. He's a professional, a class act, a leader of this team. And so it's someone that you're going to look to and try to follow his lead and just look to for guidance. And I'm really just going to be like a sponge when I'm around him, just trying to soak up as much knowledge of the game and just becoming a professional basketball player that I can.
the new picks, Tyus Jones and Karl Anthony Towns, after they were introduced as the newest members of the Timberwolves yesterday. All the hoopla. This is One and Done on 105 The Ticket. I'm Hardwood Rob, joined by Marcus Fuller and Ryan James. The question that we're raising now that we've got all these gifts, these basketball gifts from the basketball gods bestowed upon us here, is this the best Minnesota basketball has ever been? I mean, it certainly kind of feels like it to me.
Well, you got to rephrase that. Now, you're saying, is this the most exciting that Minnesota basketball has been? Because best, you know, obviously the Wolves haven't made the playoffs since 2004.
Winning would be a
the
big
Gophers haven't, you
deal.
Know, they missed out of the NCAA tournament and
right
the NIT
that?
This year.
You right about that?
And you know, I mean, high school level, there's amazing talent out there. So I think if you rephrase it and say, is this the most exciting that we've been, you know, at this
time.
Very moment
yeah.
for Minnesota basketball? And you could make the case because, you know, you look at the Gophers side of it. Okay, they didn't make the tournament last year. But all these newcomers come in. Every time you have a huge class like this, and you know, we're not just talking about one or two guys here. We're talking about seven guys. You know, two will sit out this year, but at the same time, you know, you're bringing back a player like Reggie Lynch, who's got a lot of upside. We just had Kevin Lynch on the radio, his nephew, 6'10", great shot blocker. There's going to be excitement for him, you know, even though he's not playing all the way up until next year. But the rest of the class, you know, Kevin Dorsey, 4-star point guard. You got, obviously Dupree McPrayer. You got, a lot of kids that could make an impact as freshmen. So that's going to make you excited about Gopher basketball next year.
Jordan Murphy, baby.
Jordan Murphy's my guy. He might be the best guy in the class. Power forward from Texas.
I love Kevin Dorsey too, though. Kevin Dorsey's my favorite. He's gonna be the impact guy, but Jordan Murphy might be everyone's favorite player.
And you know, I mean, you look at the. I mean, we talked about the T-Wolves, you know, almost this whole show. And you know, we know what Towns. I mean, we know what Wiggins and his potential could be. Next year, we're hoping to see him. You know, obviously reach that. And get close to reaching that. But you know, Towns is a guy that you know. If you look at this draft, outside of D'Angelo Russell. I think he excites people more than anything because, you know, he's not only a player that has the ability to capture you away from the court with his personality, but he's the guy that if you look at what he did in the NCAA tournament at the end of the season, I mean, at the end of the season, he became the player that took him to this draft. I mean, you know, midway through the season, Okafor was the solid number one pick. Am I wrong about that? I mean, there was no question that Okafor was going to be the number one pick.
For sure.
That's the thought process.
And
for sure.
I've seen this guy, it seems like every year, you know, I've watched him since probably junior in high school. You know, he continues to get better. And so, you know, I mean, he was working out last night at about, what, 11:45?
Instagram hashtag in playoffs, man. You know, like, I mean, that's what's up.
He could have just walked in the gym and took a quick shot and then left.
But he didn't. You saw the shirt had the whole thing. You could tell he'd been in there working. Oh, I want to go back to something that you just said, Ryan, about Murphy and Dorsey. One's going to be the fan favorite. One's going to be the impact player. Can you sort of break that down?
Well, I say that because Kevin's going to be – he'll be a fan favorite too. He's going to push the pace, defend like an animal. He'll be the point guard that they really want for this system. Jordan Murphy's going to be a favorite because Jordan is a battler. He's a fighter, and he'll play both forward positions. That's why they're going to like him. But I really like the group they have in. Dupree McBrayer has a great scoring potential. Ahmad Gilbert's going to be the worker. I really like the group that they have coming in.
And what's going on with Jarvis?
Yeah, you know, Jarvis situation, Jarvis Johnson, De La Salle, point guard that won 4 state championships in a row, first player ever to start on 4 state championship teams, had a great high school career. But in the 8th grade, he did collapse. You know, he had a cardio situation, you know, with his heart. And, you know, it was a situation where he did have to have, you know, defibrillator placed in there. And, you know, it's a risk that this young man takes every time he walks on the court. You know, but obviously he made it through his high school career, played at a very high level. You know, he signed with the Gophers. A lot of excitement there because it was Richard Pitino's first, high school kid that signed, you know, with this program. And, you know, there was a risk that the Gophers were taking at that time. And, you know, they talked about it with Jarvis. But, you know, up until June, you know, it was okay. And then the doctors at the University of Minnesota, they checked him out again, and they did not clear him. And it was announced last month that you know, that Jarvis would not be playing for the Gophers right now. He remains on scholarship, and that's his situation. He's a student right now in summer school. He's with the program. You know, he's going to be part of this program right now, but he will not be playing. And, you know, it's just a heartbreaking situation for a kid that's been so successful in high school basketball with the condition that he has. And, you know, moving forward, what's the future for Jarvis? You know, we're not sure. I mean, he's going to be on this team for this year. Beyond that, you know, we're still not sure.
And his role is as like a student manager sort of a role. Is that
they have? I think they're working on it right now.
Trying to define last year, what exactly.
Right. Last year, Otto Oceanix was a player that had a knee injury, announced that his career was over, and they ended up moving him into a role sort of like a player slash coach on the sideline. And he's actually a grad assistant with them right now, but. You know, I think Jarvis' situation is what a lot of people look into it is, you know, if they weren't going to clear this kid, you know, why didn't they give him enough time to play somewhere else? You know, and I think that he did still have a chance to go somewhere else and play, but he just wants to be at the University of Minnesota.
He
wants to be home.
Here. He had, like, before they started summer school, he had, I don't know what the exact days was, 7-8 days. There were schools that made, you know, contact in some way or the other. There are teams that need players. There are teams that are, I'm not going to start naming teams out there right now, but I have some in my head that I know that contacted, and they need players, and they make contact. And Jarvis could have said, you know what, they would have let him go. You know they would have released him.
No, Richard Pitino's already said publicly, you know, Jarvis would be allowed to be released from his scholarship and play somewhere else. But now that he's, you know, part of the program, he would have to sit out.
He could have, I mean, he could still be looking and going visiting schools now. I mean, he had the option to do it, but the bottom line is this kid wanted to be here. He wanted to be part of the program, and he is. And what's the future hold for that? I don't know. A year from now, maybe he is better and cleared. Maybe he does go somewhere else. Maybe he plays here. Maybe he never plays again. I don't know. And it's like, for him, my thought process right now is everybody wants to ask a question, but I don't think anybody has an answer, and I don't think we'll know a real answer for a while. So it's almost something you just gotta let lay in the weeds for a little while and see how it happens. And, you know, what's his decision gonna be? What's he want to do? He has a condition. He has a dangerous condition. And if he never wants to play again, how could you? I mean,
I can't fault him for that.
No, I would totally understand that.
You know, there's actually gonna be an ESPN special that's gonna be coming out. You know, this summer on Jarvis, and it'll probably talk a lot about his situation. I mean, they've been following him since March in the state tournament, but I'm sure they're going to be updated on what's going on. But, you know, if you look at the situation just with this class in general, you know, there is really a situation where he could redshirt, and I mean, they don't really necessarily need his presence in this class. I mean, you've got Dupree McPrayer, who I've been told by a lot of people, you know, at 6'4", 6'5", he can still play point guard a little bit. You know, if you throw him in there and ask him to handle the ball, I mean, he's that capable ball handler where he can give you some help there. I'm not saying that you need him because you have a Kevin Dorsey, you have a Nate Mason coming back as a starting point guard, but he's another person in this class that could help you as a ball handler.
Yeah, he can. I watched him do it last summer, and I watched one of his prep school games, one of those big games they played. I can't remember. I think it was against Notre Dame Prep. I'm not even exactly sure. And he handled a little bit for them as well. So
the conversation today is, I mean, it's by and large, it's we scored in the draft, right? I mean, we scored in the draft, so we're going to keep that going, but we would be remiss if we didn't continue the conversation about the Gophers, about high school basketball. The question we posed at the beginning of the segment is, where are we at? Is Minnesota basketball the best it's ever been? Or how did you rephrase it, Marcus? You said are we the most excited
about Minnesota basketball that we've ever
in
been
in a while. I would say you got to come back to the time when the Wolves were starting to be good in the late 90s, when Coach Haskins was still here and there was excitement with Joe Prisbilla and that team. They went to the tournament before, you know, something happened, but and then and high school basketball was really turning up about that point because Sam got him going, and then Khalid got him excited, and then you had Joel, and then after that was a massive group of D1 kids kids, the Troy Bells, the Nick Horvath, Shane Schillings, Mike Bauer. I'm forgetting somebody. Probably the best one in the class.
Susan King?
Rick Rickert?
No, well, Rick was...
Both y'all looked at me like...
Rick was four or five... Rick was a couple years after that. But that was that age right there, and everyone was getting so excited for Minnesota basketball. I would say it's probably the most excited all around since then, because there's been pockets where we're great. I mean, Royce White's little run was exciting for fans. Tyus and Rashad in high school. But then you also had the other two levels weren't that great.
Or 05 when the Wolves made their run to the Western Conference Finals. That would have been a big one. Of course, you know, right now, too, there's reason to be excited if you're an Apple Valley basketball fan. And we've got head coach Zach Goring on at about, what time are we having him on? At 10:30 today. So keep listening. We're going to continue the basketball talk in just a minute. It's One and Done on 105 The Ticket.
Back to One and Done on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
I had some Rashad Vaughn audio because, of course, Rashad got drafted. Rashad out of UNLV, number 17 to the Bucks. It was at the draft party. It was draft party audio, man. Like it was a party. It was bopping. You were at the draft party, weren't you?
I was there, man. He actually watched the selection. He was at a hotel nearby and watched the selection with his family, and then showed up at the draft party about 10 minutes later, just waving. I think, you know, when a kid like him, you know, he's had the NBA in his mind. I mean, all kids do growing up, but he was thinking one and done, you know, at Cooper, and that's why he left to go to Las Vegas and finish his high school career. He was trying to play against better competition. And Finley Prep, I mean, they play an unbelievable tough schedule. And I mean, you know, Anthony Bennett went to Finley Prep. I mean, they've been producing, you know, Tristan Thompson, Cleveland Cavaliers, went to Finley Prep. Corey Joseph, you know, DeVoe Joseph, ex-Gopher's brother, who's in the NBA. So it was a logical step for him to try to go to prep school to kind of boost his stock. And he ended up being a McDonald's All-American. And really, I think his last year at Finley Prep probably put him up in that draft lottery area better than his first year at UNLV.
No doubt. He sat for quite a bit of his freshman season at UNLV, didn't he? He was injured,
I think,
right?
He started off like gangbusters, and he was, you know, averaged 17 a game. I think he shot near 40% from three. You know, pretty outstanding numbers for a freshman. But and if you look at the way that team kind of just imploded, I mean, they had two... Christian Wood get drafted. I'm not sure.
Yes.
He got drafted. So you got two kids that got drafted, and this team doesn't make the NCAA tournament. One kid that gets taken just below the lottery in Rashad Vaughn.
You know, they were a mess.
Yeah, they had a hugely disappointing season for UNLV, yet he still... And then Rashad gets injured. You know, he tears his meniscus and misses the second half of the season, and he still gets picked 17th overall. I mean, like Ryan said, give a lot of credit to this guy because he had to make himself into... the 17th pick.
Yeah,
after, you said something after, off the air.
After the season.
Well, he took, I mean, you got to think about this. He spent all this doubt, all this off time, you know, working out with these teams. Like, that is where he got drafted. I mean, that was where he got drafted. In all these years, like, you know, this doesn't matter anymore because we're talking about guys that now have an NBA contract and they're going places. But for Rashad, I mean, all his life, you'd be like Minnesota prospect rankings, all around rankings. What name was in front of him all the time? Tyus Jones. And then, you know, for him to get that, him to be the first Minnesotan pick, that was... Yeah, I can tell you that to him that was like, hooray!
Well, there's a rivalry going on there, yeah, and, you
know,
no doubt.
In a nice way, not
sure.
I mean, you
yeah,
know,
it's no, like, I mean, but it's good.
I want to be better. I want to be better. I want to be better.
That makes them better. Doesn't that make them better?
Exactly. Yeah.
You don't need no Carlito.
You know, Rashad. You know, he's also a kid that, you know, he might not play that way. You know, he's definitely confident on the court, but he's pretty humble. You know, when you get to talk to him
and meet him.
And, you know, that doesn't maybe come across to a lot of people because they think, oh, this kid wanted one and done from you know, when he was seventh grade and he left, you know, Minnesota to go to high school in Las Vegas. And, you know, he gets kind of a bad rap for all that. But, you know, he's a kid that's definitely humbled by all this. And you know, really, if you look at his situation, you know, playing for Jason Kidd, a young up-and-coming, you know, I'm going to say young, but he's definitely
a young coach.
You know, in Milwaukee's a situation where he's going to get a lot of playing time, I feel like.
Yeah.
And he's going to go in there and with the kind of confidence he has as a scorer, and a versatile scorer at that. He can not only beat you from three-point range, but he can get to the basket. He's more athletic than a lot of people really knew until maybe the workouts. It's crazy.
Well, I'll tell you what. We in Minnesota knew how athletic he was.
Sure, sure.
That dude's
about,
a monster. But I'm going to share a couple of things about Rashad that I think people need to know. He is one of the funniest kids, most playful kids I know. Like he just wants to be social. And I don't think most people know that. I remember one time there was the Comet Shootout, and Rashad just wants to play, and his team wasn't playing in it. And he sends me a message. He goes, "Hey, how do you think I could get in that tournament without anybody noticing?" And I'm like, I don't know. Well, how should we do this? And we're like, there was a guy that played at Cooper, and I was like, well, go in and pretend you're this guy's brother. Put on a wig, go in there and play. And we just
nice. Talk.
We go back and forth, and we just come up with these crazy things. And that's Rashad. I saw him in Vegas last summer, and he was a monster. I can't tell you how much muscle he put on. And you'd think I had seen the guy in a year. And you'd think he's Rashad. He's big time. And the first thing he did was run up and just come up with some crazy joke. Can we talk for 20 minutes? Because that's Rashad. He's just a social, fun kid, and I've always liked him. I'm glad to see he got picked by the Bucks 17th, and he's just a fun kid. Now his athleticism, we had a all-star game, and you could probably find this on YouTube, called Clash of the Classes, and him and Tyus were on the same team. The dunks that dude had in that thing, that was the first time I was like, holy Lord, that I didn't know you were that explosive. He is ultra explosive too, and he's strong, so skilled. I guarantee you went into those workouts and blew those guys away because he has all the tools.
I mean, he's a workout king. That's just what he does. He
loves to play.
And I think that people, have to understand, too, that he doesn't turn 19 until September. He's the youngest player in this draft. And, we used to talk about that, kind of the past several years, that he was always the youngest player, he's the youngest person in the class. He's rated as the number one shooting guard in the country, but he's only 16 or 17. And he is a man already. If you look at his body, but once he does truly become a man, you're going to see his development, his maturity physically just go off the charts. And Tyus is in a situation where he's in a great situation where he has a mentor like Ricky Rubio. He doesn't have to come in and play right away. Kind of ease in there. But Rashad, man, he's going to go in there thinking he can win Rookie of the Year.
Heck yeah, he is.
And, and really, he might put up the numbers to put himself in that conversation. When you look at, we had that conversation just recently about, is this the most exciting that Minnesota basketball has ever been? And a lot of that has to do with the high school talent that's coming up. After Tyus, after Rashad Vaughn, are we going to have another NBA player in a couple of years? It's just crazy, right? We did a photo shoot with the big three, Rashad Vaughn, Tyus Jones, Reed Travis. We had these guys in the same gym up at Apple Valley shooting around, And I'm pulling up these pictures and just thinking, man, that was just like yesterday.
Ago.
It was just like yesterday.
It was literally yesterday.
And so that's what we're thinking when we see like Gary Trent Jr. We're looking at some of these kids that are coming up after Tyus. Like, are we going to see them just in a year or two or three just make this huge jump and be in this conversation of being possible NBA players? And that's what makes people excited, I think, about the high school basketball in Minnesota,
no,
is that we're starting to produce these NBA players on a regular. And a lot of people won't notice this, but the last last 4 or 5 years we've had a player drafted from Minnesota. From
every
the state of Minnesota, Royce White, 2012. We had Ryan, help me out here. Back in 2013, we had Mike Muscala and Nate Walters.
Yes.
Okay. And last
they were both
year,
drafted the second round. Yeah.
Right. And last year we had Alec Brown from Winona. So, we're producing NBA talent. Is it first round talent every year? No. But to be drafted, they've had statistics
huge.
Out there to be drafted. It's like winning the lottery, And these guys are getting into the NBA. I mean, Muscala was there in the playoffs, and
with the Hawks.
He hit a buzzer beater there. And he's a kid who didn't get offered by the Gophers, and he's in the NBA. Same with Nate Walters.
Muscala. Yeah, but, Mike, no one – I'm going to tell you what. Mitch Onstead, he's played for the Gophers. He works. If a pro comes back into town, Mitch is probably working him out, okay? And he's the one that was working out Mike from day one. And Mitch would always say, Ryan, he's going to be a pro. And he's trying to get these colleges to look at him. And none of them would look at Mike. He's 6'10 and skilled. And but because he's not playing for a major A – I'm telling you, if you'd have played for a major AU team, then as ridiculous as that sounds, maybe more would have came. I don't know. But Mike – Mike, it all worked out for Mike. Everything was great. And so then you got Nate Walters. You know, who was going after Nate? North Dakota State, Augustana, South Dakota State, and Colorado State were his final four. Iowa could have got him. They took a dude who quit their team after less than a year. You know, Nate could have had him. And they didn't think he was good enough. Like, man. And so you can't put it all on Minnesota with some of these kids because those other teams didn't think these guys were either good. These are workers, man. And that is the biggest thing. I'm going on a rant here. But his heart. Like, you got to learn about a dude's heart. You got to learn about a dude's character. And that's why Mike and Nate were drafted. Now, Mike's with the Hawks. Nate is going to try to get back in the league.
He was with the Bucks for a little while. He was drafted by the Bucks.
He was drafted by the Bucks, yeah. Played a year and a half there. Then he was released, and then he played with New Orleans Pelicans? I don't know. Was that
I got to ask you real quick about
the Hornets. Now they're back to the Hornets.
The Sanford.
No, but he played for the New Orleans team, though, down there.
Okay.
What about the Pentagon out there?
Oh, I love the Pentagon. Marcus, you're going to love the Pentagon. Here's some of the things that you'll love about it. They have a Hall of Fame of the best basketball coming in. Inside and outside, they have these like
it's a gym, right? This is the Sanford Pentagon in South Dakota.
Let's let people know, obviously, they don't know the Gophers next this coming season. December 12th, they are playing in South Dakota, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, at the Sanford Pentagon. They're playing Oklahoma State, which was an NCAA tournament team last year. You know, this is a marquee non-conference opponent that Richard Pitino wanted to put on the schedule. You know, they're going to Puerto Rico. They're going to play in the Big Ten ACC Challenge. But you had to have another, you know, kind of big name conference opponent before the Big Ten to kind of prepare yourself. And, you know, Ryan's excited about the arena.
The place is awesome, man, because it's got, like, they patterned it after the old Hoosiers movie. So they have the old lights like that. They have an old scoreboard and clock like that. The floor is parquet.
Chitwood?
But then on the, like, that's this side. And on this side, they have the big, the flat screens and all
the
that.
Legit stuff.
And it's 3,500 people. The whole place is basketball history. The nice. Lofts, the everything is all sweet basketball history. I've been there four times.
Sanford, South Dakota?
Sanford Pentagon Center. Awesome.
Yeah.
You know, but it's small. It is small. But then last year, UNLV played in there. Who else? Memphis played in there. Yeah. We saw State played in there last year.
Wisconsin played in there a few years ago.
Yes, they did. Yep. And they have this. I'm telling you, it's the greatest. But if you want your tickets, you got to get them on July 3rd because there's only 3,500 of them. So go get them things. And Marcus, me and you are going to have to find a way to get down in good media seats because there's only limited ones. And the ones upstairs, they're so high, it's insane.
No,
we're going to need binoculars.
That is not happening.
The hottest ticket locally, as we've sort of alluded to lately, is not just the Timberwolves, but maybe the Apple Valley Eagles. Is that arguable? Is it the Golden Eagles? Are they the
Coach?
The Golden. We're going to get Coach Zach Goring on the line in just a couple of minutes.
He's going to sing the Duke fight song as soon as we come in to see everybody.
Oh, he better
ready.
Not.
Yeah, he will. You are, Zach.
Keep listening. It's One and Done on 105 The Ticket.
One and Done. Basketball talk on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
This is a dream come true to be a part of this team and this organization. And like Carl said, we're just coming in ready to work, trying to contribute as much as possible to this team and willing to learn. And we're going to just, the main goal is winning, and that's what our focus is.
That's one of the newest Timberwolves, Mr. Tyus Jones out of Apple Valley, talking about this being really the dream come true. I don't know if it's just a dream come true for him. It's probably a dream come true for all of us. Included in that would be his former coach, his head coach at Apple Valley High School, head coach Zach Goring. Coach, how are you today?
Doing well. Thanks for having me on.
You've got this. Congratulations to you. This is not Apple Valley's first. You clarified that for us just a second ago off the air, but it's your very first player that has made it into the NBA. So I think congratulations are in order to you, sir.
Well, thank you. Appreciate that.
Yeah, you know, Zach, if you look at the way that Minnesota basketball, we talked about this just recently, you might be able to say that Minnesota basketball has the most talent, you know, in this stretch the last several years and coming years ever.
Yeah, absolutely. I think with the big three last year and Tyus, Rashad, and Reed, and then you know, just the crop of kids that are coming up through the high school ranks. And also, I think how well, you know, our Howard Pulley programs are doing and all the other AAU groups. You know, Minnesota basketball right now is as good as it ever has been. And I think that's, you know, due to our strong AAU programs, working together with our strong high school programs. And, you know, it's fun to be a part of Minnesota basketball right now.
And it's fun to be a part of Apple Valley basketball right now, too, as he's Coach Goring here has a couple guys continuing to move up, like Gary Trent. I mean, Gary's getting offers from everybody, and Trey picked one up from Minnesota yesterday. It's awesome to hear. You guys are over playing at Gopher Team Camp right now, right?
Yeah. Yep. We played yesterday against Maple Grove, and, you know, Coach Patino was there watching us and, you know, following the game. He offered Trey. So Trey was really excited about that. His only offer before that was Texas Tech. Tubby Smith, the former head coach, and Joe Esposito. And they offered last fall, even before Trey was a freshman. So they were, you know, almost a year ago. So Trey's excited, and I'm guessing he's going to get many more.
Oh, I'm certain.
He's really, really developing. I think from the end of our regular season, you know, he had an incredible playoffs. He was our, you know, our top defender, and was a huge piece of our championship team. And now this summer, you know, he's been playing Howard Pulley and playing with us. And he's a kid that really works on his game as well. You know, he's spoiled because he gets a chance to work out with his older brother JD and Tyus consistently. So that's that only makes him better.
You know, and I want to back something up Zach said, like, Trey is an outstanding defender. I mean, that's one of the best things he does. Great rebounder for a guard.
Right.
And oh yeah, he knows how to run a floor. I mean, the young man knows how to run offense. And we talked about it earlier. Both him and Gary played for the Team USA, and that's another amazing thing. Both those kids from Apple Valley High School playing for Team USA, winning a gold medal. I think it was gold. What event was that actually?
It was the FIBA Under 16, I believe. I should know the exact. It was down in Argentina.
Okay.
So it was an under 16, you know, national team that traveled to Argentina early June. So the kids took off. They graduated or finished out school 2 weeks early, went out to the Team USA camp in Colorado Springs, and they were both a part of 26 players, and they both made the top 12.
That's awesome.
And then they were both starters down there. JR was the MVP, and Trey, you know, set the tournament record with 19 steals, which, you know, if you know Trey, that just doesn't really surprise you. He just has just the will to defend and huge hands and gets in passing lanes and really, you know, he picks up in the full pretty consistently. So we're really proud of those two kids and, you know, the way they're representing our program and our school. And, you know, they're really playing well and continuing to develop at a high rate.
Yeah, I want to talk about Tyus again. You know, the draft party, just talk about the atmosphere there. I mean, I was listening to it from up top, you know, of their 508 restaurant in Minneapolis, and it sounds like you guys, you know, had a really good time down there.
The
atmosphere.
Time.
Yeah.
You know, I had never been to the 508 bar, and, you know, they had the lower level closed off. It was all done up really, really well. There's flat screens everywhere. They had like a curtain, like where you're at the Emmys, where everyone could take a picture in front of it. You probably saw it on
I tried to stick my head in the curtain, and then I got headlocked. Yeah.
But the neat thing, and this goes back to Tyus, is he got invited to New York. He could have walked across the stage and shook the commissioner's hand, but he wanted to be, you know, back in Minnesota with the people that have meant the most to him. And, you know, he invited many people from our school, which was really cool. He invited our whole staff and our athletic director, some of his favorite teachers, our public address announcer, you know, and then there was many people from Pulley, and then, you know, a lot of his family and friends. So the people that he's been closest to, you know, he invited, and it was just such a neat night. It's kind of like a bucket list item. You know, when we all went there, we're like, this is something we may never do again, to go to a draft party for a kid we coached in high school. And, you know, there was so much chatter about him being number 18 and going to Houston. Kevin McHale liked him. And
right.
I think when Sam Decker started the slide, I think Houston decided to take Decker, obviously, over Tyus, and then, you know, then we were really watching Dallas, and he had some good workouts there, and they went in a different direction. And then we're down to Chicago at 22, and Fred Hoiberg recruited him really hard when he was at Iowa State, loved him. You know, Tyus would have fit perfectly there. So we thought, well, this will be where he ends up going. That'll be good for us. We can drive there. We can quick play it out to Chicago and watch. But so then they passed, and then we didn't really know what was going to happen. And then the Timberwolves came through, and the whispers that went through that room when the Timberwolves had traded for him got really loud. And when the Cavaliers came up to select, the whole place was chanting Tyus, Tyus, and it had been known that that was the Timberwolves pick. So crazy, crazy night.
Coach,
really
can,
fun.
Can you talk about Tyus's fit with the T-Wolves? How do you see him fitting into this team?
I think he'll be a great fit. He's always adjusted to whatever level, you know, he's been at. We didn't know how he would really fit at Duke. And the neat thing for him is he's played USA basketball for so long. And, you know, he's been able to play with elite players, and he makes those players even better. And that's what he'll do with the Timberwolves. And it'll be a good fit where he can come in and, you know, Rubio will be the starter, and then he'll come in and just kind of find his way a little bit. And but the rest of the guys are going to love playing with him because he puts them in spots where they can be successful. And it's going to be a great fit. He's going to – the face of – he'll put a great face on that team as well. He's great with the media. You know, you guys all know him. He's a straight arrow. So I think it's a great fit for the Timberwolves.
Oh, yeah, he's just an awesome kid. Probably one of the best kids I've ever covered in high school. But, you know, you look at your team now. I mean, your two best players, Trey and Gary, now they both have NBA ties in their family. You know, there's going to be that expectation now. You know, a lot of people have the pressure living up to Tyus, living up to, you know, Gary Sr. How do you deal with that? I mean, I know they're two great kids and they're, you know, they're grounded and they have to support their families. But how do you deal with that? Just kind of with the social media age and people wanting players to go to the NBA and that such.
Yeah, well, you know, for JR, his father has done such a great job with him. You know, he coached our kids right now that are coming through the school, all through middle school and on traveling teams. So, you know, for JR, I think it might be more living up to his father. Which he's pretty comfortable with, and he has such a good relationship with his dad. But, you know, when Tyus was around, Tyus really did a great job of showing JR how to handle when Tom Izzo's in the gym and Coach K and, you know, you name it, Coach Patino. It's not a big deal. We just continue to play as hard as we can. We don't go hunt for our own shots. We just play team ball. You know, we don't make a big deal about it in social media. So JR has really done a good job with that as well. For Trey, you know, last year, early in the season, we dealt with a lot of questions of, is he as good as Tyus? And I always told people, Tyus is so fresh in your head from his senior year in high school. Trey's just a freshman, hasn't even started a high school game. You know, let's let the kid develop a little bit and get him out on the floor. And Trey's always embraced being Tyus's little brother. You know, they're very close. They're best friends. So, you know, and Trey's starting to go down the path of doing some of the same things that Tyus has done. Tyus won gold medals with USA, which Trey has now done. Tyus won a state championship, which Trey has now done. You know, Tyus has gotten early offers, Division I. Now Trey is doing that too. So, you know, Trey's starting to go down the same path of Tyus. So, you know, and I think it's a good thing as long as we don't constantly compare everyone and let the kids be their own players. I think we'll be fine.
Yeah, well, Coach, you know, I appreciate having you with us here. And, you know, I mean, we're going to be excited about Minnesota basketball. We talked about maybe this might be the most exciting time ever for Minnesota basketball, and Tyus is a part of that, and some of your kids, Gary, Trent Jr., and Trey, obviously,
Apple
is a part
Valley
of that
High
as well.
School
yeah.
Is. Yeah, it's a great deal, Coach. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Yeah, no problem, guys.
And best of luck to you.
I try to listen to your show every Saturday to catch up on what's going on in the world.
We appreciate you. Spread the word.
He does do that because he talks about the show afterwards after I talk with him.
Awesome,
so, yeah.
Awesome.
I'm always texting RJ.
Yes.
So.
Zach and Das are the number one fans. Tom Dasovich.
Thanks a lot, Coach. We appreciate you listening.
Okay, have a good one, guys.
Have a good one.
Take care.
That's cool. I like that. Coach is showing us love. He's listening every Saturday. Hopefully, maybe we can have him in studio sometime. That'd be pretty slick. Of course, he's always probably somewhere trying to get to a gym, right?
Most likely.
Well, we're going to wrap things up here in just a couple of minutes. Maybe discuss what's up next for the high school programs, the Gophers, the Wolves. There's just so much to talk about. We probably deserve a 4-hour show, but such is the world. We're going to do 15 more minutes. We'll be back next. It's One and Done on 105 The Ticket.
Back to One and Done on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
I've always had this habit of talking to myself.
Never me.
Being one of my biggest critics.
Never me.
Coach just kept seeing me walking up and down the court talking to myself.
Maybe I don't give a shit.
And ever since then, Carlito was born.
Maybe I don't remember the last time I blew my nose either.
Carlito took the game to the next level.
What, you think you like me?
I mean, just telling me what I should be doing better, what I should not be doing.
You ain't like me, mother.
No matter where I go, I still got the biggest critic right close to me in my head.
You a punk.
I think Carlito's really just going to tell me, you know.
Why don't you get lost?
Enjoy this moment, but we got a lot of work to do from now on.
Go ahead, snatch your purse. Come on, take a from you.
I got to give it out to you, Rob. I love that. I love that mix of Carlito Towns and Carlito's way.
It's so dumb. It's so dumb. These are the giggles.
Hey, whatever works, right?
Whatever
works. The kicks
I get out of life. It's just so.
I'm so lost over here.
You never seen Carlito's Way, man?
No, I have not.
It's one of Pacino's goofier characters for sure. He's a Cuban dude, I think, or a Puerto Rican dude. I mean, Scarface was. He went total like full on like. Caricature in that one, but Carlito's Way is he's still very much a caricature, but in a very Pacino way. I love me some Pacino. So when I heard that Carl Anthony Towns had an imaginary friend named Carlito, it was the first thing that snapped into my mind was Carlito's Way, and I just pictured that scene of him and John Leguizamo going at each other, and he just kind of embarrasses himself. It worked out for some silly audio. What can I say? Carlito's Way. Big ups to Carlito.
Carlito's not imaginary anymore, though. Did you see his Twitter account?
Oh, yeah. I just tweeted it. I got tagged
him.
Yeah,
he's got a little statue.
It's at Carlito. At Carlito _
It's like a little bobblehead.
That's what that audio is from, actually, because Slam Magazine did the feature. It's like a 2-minute video on Slam Magazine about sort of the creation of the cartoon character that is Carlito Towns. And, Hopefully Carlito wants to show us some love. Maybe if we can't get Carl Anthony Towns on the show himself, maybe we could just get Carlito.
Carlito, this little statue that does not look like Towns at all.
it's not like Little Penny, or it's not like Cliff Paul.
It's reminiscent of Little Penny. It's more of a cartoon. I think there's a statue that they made, or a doll that they made, or something like that. But I don't think it has a voice yet. If not, I'm sure Chris Rock is available.
The scary thing is, though, that, you know, once you know, Towns does become the player that, you know, everybody hopes he is, Carlito will have to go away, and that will have to become part of his personality. You know, if a coach, you know, is yelling at him, I mean, yell back. I mean, that's what superstars do, right? I mean,
oh, man.
don't look over your shoulder and do it. I mean, you know, I love it that this kid is such a nice, he's just a nice guy, such a nice guy that he just can't, you know.
Should
look at the coach and say, what?
We're not worried about that, are we?
We
can't be worried about him being too nice or anything, right? He's got a little mean streak in him. He's got to have a nasty. That's what Carlito is, right? Carlito is the nasty.
He's so young. I mean, remember how everybody thought Dwight Howard was so nice, so nice? Now nobody likes Dwight Howard at all. Like, who? Nobody even wants him. He's
myself included.
Yeah, like Dwight Howard. Yeah, you're a punk.
So...
Why are you acting ridiculous, Dwight?
If Towns plays half the way that Howard has in his career, I mean, just as far as a defensive presence, I mean, you got to when Howard's healthy, he's definitely him and DeAndre Jordan are the best defenders in the league at the center position, not even close.
You saw that video when he grabbed one of his teammates' junk, though.
I did, and you know what?
He caught him.
I'm not gonna.
He reached.
I don't want to go there at all. But you know what?
It was malicious. It wasn't nice.
Somewhere there's a whole video.
He's got too much time on his hands when he was injured, and I'm glad he got back there for Houston. But you know what? I mean, Harden and Howard, That team had to do more with that tandem than they had. I mean, come on now. I mean, the Warriors, we all knew that they had a chance to win the championship dish. But when they ran into Houston in the playoffs, you know, I felt like that was a scary situation for the Warriors a little bit.
Yeah, but Houston has a lack of D. And there's always two holes on the floor somewhere. One of them is James Harden because he don't know what he's doing on D. He's just standing over there.
He's
somewhere.
A matador.
Oh my lord! And then Dwight, I mean, Dwight. I don't understand. I used to love Dwight Howard. I mean, he was fun. He did all. And all of a sudden now he like has to take on some of the Bill Laimbeer stuff. Why you guys to be so cheap?
Houston's the reason that I think the Wolves are going to make the playoffs because Houston's going to fall. Houston's going to fall because Howard's going to be Dwight Howard, and Harden, I think, is going to be just become totally disinterested at some point.
They need something. They need something to, like, just, I don't know what they need. They need something to guide them in the right direction because, you know, they could be ridiculous.
If you look at, you know, Dwight Howard, I mean, there's kind of a push now, right, to make kids come out of high school again and go straight to the pros. You know, I think that kids should be allowed to do it. But would Karl Towns have been ready if he went straight out of high school? No. I mean, the second half of this season for Kentucky is really when he, you know, developed offensively to the player he is right now. And, you know, with Jahlil Okafor, probably would have been the number one pick if he came out of high school. Physically, he was already ready. He had these post moves since he was in the ninth grade, for crying out loud. But, you know, a lot of these kids, they're leaving as freshmen. You know, how many of them would have been straight out of high school?
I don't know. I love the one-year college. But the next rule they need to make is don't go back to just high school. Don't go to a Major League Baseball. Or is baseball?
Why not high school? Why not straight out of high school?
I don't want to do straight out of high school.
College basketball?
I think they need that 1 year of... They might need, who knows, some kids need more, some need less, but for the majority of them, they probably need 1 year of that maturity at that level.
Can I blow your minds for a minute? I was talking to Ben Holson the other day. Big ups to Ben Holson. He's one of the great, it's a sad day to see Radioactive Sports go. I love Ben and Mike. They're two of the greatest human beings I've ever met in my entire life. Ben and I were having tacos as we do every Friday. And he said, I've mentioned this already a couple of times. I'd like to see the Wolves go get a point guard, somebody who's not necessarily going to play a lot of minutes, but maybe can provide some veteran leadership and be productive when needed. Starbury.
Oh, Lord. Starbury.
Hell no.
You don't think Steph could come in? First of all, it would be tough to go get Steph because he's a deity over there in China. I get that. It would be really hard to pull Steph away from doing Chinese musicals and being Starberry over there.
How old is he now?
That's the thing. He's still young enough. He's not like 40 or nothing. He's still a younger man that he could actually come in.
By younger man, what do you mean?
Anywhere near this team.
No, we don't. Or if you're going to get him, let's just go get Panda Bear, World Peace, Save the World guy.
Why not get Allen Iverson?
There's the whole homecoming thing, man. We've got Tyus coming home. We've got KG coming home. Let's bring Marbury back.
You're going to have to get rid of KG because he's not going anywhere.
Let's have Pooh Richardson be a coach then. Can we get Tony Campbell back here to teach somebody how to shoot? Let's do it. Let's go back in the day. Is Brad Lohaus available? I know Randy Brewer's around here somewhere.
Hell no.
Let's keep going. Isn't Scott Roth on that team? Rick Mahorn, he's there. Rick Mahorn still owes us some minutes, doggone it.
We have some Timberwolves news. Seems like it's breaking on social media right now.
Yeah, what's hitting?
Associated Press is reporting that the Wolves are close to a deal with the EuroLeague MVP, Nemanja.
Nemanja.
Nemanja. Jelica.
Y'all know Nemanjelica? I'm not familiar. I feel like one of the Knicks fans when Porzingis got drafted. Like, what? What? Who? Nemanja.
You knew Porzingis. Nemanja. We talked about it all year,
yeah,
baby.
Yeah, the Knicks were playing like Porzingis for Porzingis.
Yes, they
Apparently did. This kid, Flip said yesterday that this kid, if he would have been in this year's draft, he would have been a top 10 pick. 6'10", 27 years old. He kind of looks like a cross between Darko Milicic
Darko's kickboxing now.
And the kid that got drafted this year by Orlando. Is that Hezonja?
Yeah, everybody's high on
Mario
him.
Mario Hezonja.
He's like the most confident player in the draft or something. Like this dude, he looks like J.R. Smith.
I'm trying to pull up a YouTube video of this kid.
We'll post it on. We'll post it on the Twitter feed. You can see, always
follow
us.
Looks
pretty
good. I mean, Twitter, he's got a decent 3-point shot. Looks pretty athletic for 6'10".
He's gonna be a stash and cash kind of player, though.
No, he's ready. I mean, he's been stashed already. Looks like he might actually get to the league here pretty soon.
Maybe they could sign Cliff Alexander. He needs something to do. Man, I can't believe he didn't get drafted. I wish they could go back to school after they did that. That'd be nice.
Yeah, so he would have been drafted out of high school.
Yeah, he probably would have.
Cliff Alexander, top, 20 high school player? He would have been drafted out of high school.
There was a couple of dudes that
he was the fourth-ranked player in the high school class.
But you know what? Gopher team camp is going on right now. We're about to head over there soon, but... You know, the Gophers started individual workouts this week, and you know, I heard Nate Mason, you know, he had a thumb injury that he had surgery on in the offseason. He's back healthy from that, looking pretty good. Really, it's about Nate Mason this offseason. You know, if he kind of develops into the player that Patino thinks he can be, one of the better point guards in the Big Ten, it's going to go a long way because this team is really young and it lacks leadership, so they're going to need Mason, Carlos Morris, Joey King, some of these guys to step into a leadership role.
Joey's going to be Joey. Nate's going to be Nate. Nate will be solid. It's going to be interesting to see how Nate handles that big role. But what is Carlos going to do? If Carlos turned the corner, that's big. That would be big because people forget, he was benched. We still averaged 11 a game for the year.
Yeah,
I mean, he's got the physical talent.
Kevin Lynch bringing up Bakari Konate. I mean, he's going to have to
take that
position and run with it because there's not much there at all.
The conversation will continue. Sorry, I got to cut you off because we got one. On Deck Radio is going to take over next. So we're going to continue the conversation on Twitter. It's at One and Done 105. Spell out the One and Done. Look for the podcast. That'll be on 105theticket.com. Hopefully by Monday afternoon or whatever. For Marcus Fuller and Ryan James, I am Hardwood Rob. Thank you for listening to One and Done. We'll see you.